Welcome to the Mark in the Morning podcast. Want to receive this daily? Search Mark in the Morning on iTunes, Stitcher, Audio Boom, or wherever you get your podcasts.
40 seconds to go. Curry is using some of the clock. And he fires. Yes!
Now, Gina, I know this is going to be German to you, but Steph Curry and the Golden State Warriors were down 3-1. They found a way to come back and win it. They now go on to play LeBron James and the boys.
Hold up, bitch. I watched the whole game last night.
Oh, nice. Okay, good. Is Steph Curry so much fun to watch?
Oh, my God. Do people call him the golden boy of Golden State? Because that's what he is.
Yeah, it's effortless. This three-point shot he's got, I could watch him or Jordan Spieth play golf all freaking day long. I could. All right, now, well, happy Tuesday, first of all, everybody. I hope you had a great Memorial Day weekend. Skeeter, we did a Facebook Live over the weekend. We had a bunch of crap. In fact, I'm going to officially say to you that we have too much show today.
Hey, Mark, do you have a personal you hate to hear it? Because I have a feeling that you do.
I do.
Oh,
yeah,
God.
I do.
Okay.
Yeah. And there's pictures to back it up.
So God.
I'll talk you through it. Now, today, there's nothing bigger than the Cincinnati Zoo silverback gorilla incident. A kid fell in the enclosure, and the gorilla was killed. So there's much to be discussed about that because people are very strong in their opinions, as am I. Johnny Depp's exes are stepping out in his defense. His wife, Amber Heard, is claiming that he, because of a drug and alcohol problem, was physically abusive to her. And his exes are stepping out going, well, I'll share with you what they say. We have the best hot dog in America.
Ooh.
And you're not going to believe where it came from.
Well, I'm sure it's somewhere fancy, some fancy hot doggery.
At a Santa Monica bar, three women sitting next to a couple watched a guy spike his date's drink. I'll tell you what they did. There is an announcement made by Desert Trip, and people going in general admission are not going to be happy. Critter Hell, this weekend was my Critter Hell. It is, you hate to hear it. Plus, Linda and I met Kevin Hart, and we will share that story.
The Kevin Hart?
Yes.
Big, gigantic star Kevin Hart.
Yes.
Okay.
Funny story, too, because I almost got divorced over it. Didn't realize. Facebook feud. We speak with Steve Picaro. Disney family four-pack. We've got, this alligator thing. The biggest freaking alligator I've ever seen was walking on a golf course. It's nuts. And Donald Trump's star has been crapped on yet again. They're talking about removing it. And we speak with Adam Carolla. All yours on Mark in the Morning. So this is pretty much what everybody's talking about, and I don't think there's anybody who's not going to have an opinion one way or the other. The director of the Cincinnati Zoo is defending the decision to shoot and kill a gorilla over the weekend after a 4-year-old boy fell into the animal's enclosure and was dragged around by the ape. The 420-pound, 17-year-old primate known as Harambe was shot after zoo officials determined that the boy was in grave danger.
We did not take the shooting of Harambe lightly, but that child's life is in danger. And people who question that or second guessers don't understand that you can't take a risk with a silverback gorilla.
While thousands on social media questioned the move, Jane Goodall and Jack Hanna were among the experts who spoke out in support of the difficult but apparently necessary decision to shoot the ape. During the ordeal, the gorilla dragged the boy around the enclosure for 10 minutes with his head hitting concrete several times during the incident.
In the real world, you make difficult calls, but you have to make them, and the safety of that child is paramount. I'm proud of our team that handled it, and I'm proud of our team that's handled everything since.
So, yeah, a lot of people are mourning the gorilla, but the way, because I've seen the video multiple times,
yeah.
The gorilla, Jack Hanna was the one that said the gorilla was confused. He didn't understand why people were yelling.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't understand why this child is in his enclosure. And there were moments where he seemed like he would prop the boy up, hold his hand. But then the violent dragging was very scary. So some people said, well, why don't you drug him? And it wouldn't be quick enough.
Yeah.
This boy's life was seconds away from being taken.
Yeah.
Here's my only question. Where are the boy's parents that don't see him climb a 4-foot fence and then walk through 5 feet of rocks, trees, and greenery, and then fall what looked like 15 to 20 feet into the water of that enclosure?
That is the big question.
I managed to raise 3 kids. I think Linda helped.
Yeah.
We went to the zoo all the time. None of my kids ever fell into a gorilla enclosure.
Yeah.
So I really wonder where they were.
Well, you know, there's a change.org petition going around, over 100,000 signatures in 48 hours to have child services go and investigate the parents' home, thinking you clearly have a neglect issue. So why don't we get the government involved here?
Yeah, I don't know if both parents were there, how they can't. Because look, he's 4.
Yeah.
He's not going to be climbing quickly.
Yeah.
So what were they doing?
I think more details are going to come out. Meanwhile, the parents have hired a public relations firm because they know this is going to get ugly fast. So this is going to get way more complicated before it gets flushed out.
Well, the legal analyst on Good Morning America said, what you may see is a lawsuit from the parents suing the zoo because it was too easy to get in the enclosure. And he says that's possibly a real thing.
Personally, I'm not a big, huge fan of zoos, so I think we all need to take one step back and go, why are they putting this big, gorgeous silverback in a cage for all of us to go, look, and throw popcorn at it and possibly have a kid dragged around? But that's just me. I think that, they belong on National Geographic, where we can video them from far away and ooh and ah and not have to worry about these things. But hey, what do I know?
So, as I said, I had critter hell. I'm going to tell this story around 6:50. It all happened within 5 minutes of each other. And then Linda and I met Kevin Hart this weekend, and we got a photograph with him. It's up on Mark in the Morning Facebook if you want to check it out. And I'll be telling that a little later. Plus, we have Adam Carolla. We're going to get into, not right now, but we're going to get into how do you eat your hot dog? Because tons of people ate hot dogs this Memorial Day weekend. And again, the phones are going to blow up, but we'll get into that a little later because Gina tells me, who works with Adam Carolla, Gina tells me that he is explicit on this issue.
Are you ready for fire to shoot through your headphones?
Dude, I cannot wait.
Okay.
His angle on stuff is so weird and great and hysterical. And then even if you don't agree, the way that he presents it is just, it's the absolute best.
Yeah.
So Adam Carolla around 8:50 this morning.
Now, the name soon to be heard around the universe is Mr. Mike TV. You love to watch TV, Mike?
You bet.
Yeah, I do. And over the weekend on Sunday night in Dublin, Ireland, Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band had a show. And some dude named Bono decided to jump on stage and sing a song with Bruce. And it was the song Because of the Night, which is an amazing song. So here's just a little snippet. The audio isn't great. It's from a cell phone. The whole thing is up on our Facebook page and on markinthemorning.com if you want to see the whole thing in its entirety. Here's just a little snippet, though.
Take me.
Just a little snippet. The rest is up on the website. There's your Mike TV.
Sit, Ubu, sit. Good dog.
Look, Bullwinkle, a message in a bottle.
Fan mail from some flounder?
No, this is what I really call a message.
Yo, I am an avid Mark in the Morning podcast listener in Atlanta by way of Sacramento. I used to listen to the Mark and Linda podcast, rest in peace, Mark and Brian on the Eagle in Sacramento, etc. It is my favorite thing ever when Mark sings, and anytime Danny has airtime, the show is at its best. Stake me. Danny is easily the funniest person on the show, and I've been pretty bummed to be hearing him less lately. Danny, I know you're busy during the show, but please be on the air more. Just trade Mikey out for you, and we're good.
Hey, what did I do?
Hey, dude, I didn't write the letter.
It's what you didn't do.
It's from Sarah Duncan. Thank you, Sarah, for listening. All right,
and send a picture of that ass from Danny.
Don't forget that ass. The gorilla, the Cincinnati Zoo, this weekend, a four-year-old kid climbed over the enclosure and fell what looked like 15 to 20 feet in the water of the gorilla's enclosure. And the gorilla, frighteningly, drugged the kid around, banging his head against concrete, but then other times seemed to be propping him up and taking care of him. Mm-hmm. Let's go to Mark. He's calling from Van Nuys. He has an opinion. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, Mark. Gina, Mike, how y'all doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm all right. I listened to your story. That's great. I'm right there with you. I was watching late night news last night, and they was talking to the woman who actually videoed it all on her phone. And there's part of the video that the media is not showing. It's where she was already rolling, and the little kid was telling its mom, "I want to go in there." Mom said no. Kid kept saying, "I want to go in there. I want to go in there." Mother said no, turned her back on the kid, and that's when the kid climbed through the fence and dropped into the water. But why they're not telling us all that story on the other media channels I've seen, I don't know, and wasn't aware whether you were aware of the rest of that story.
I did not know that.
Yeah, in a lot of the articles, I don't know that people have posted the video. I haven't been looking, but a lot of the articles say the kids, whining and, you know, joking around and saying, "I'm going in there," and the parents say absolutely not. But, yeah, I don't know where the video is on that.
Apparently, the mother turned her back to tend to her other children, and that's when this child climbed through the fence and fell into the water.
Oy.
So, Mark, then you're not overly blaming the parents for this happening?
I kind of feel that the parents are responsible. I'm also a parent. In a place like that, you don't take your eyes off your kids, especially if one's threatening or saying that it wants to climb into that. You look to see if there's a possibility. If that kid could possibly fit through the fence or get around it, I'm not going to take my eyes off of them. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, but You know, with the look, as horrible as it is that the gorilla had to be killed, there was no other choice. There really wasn't.
I understand that completely. But again, I'm sure the zoo has taken every precaution they possibly can to make sure that children cannot get into the enclosures easily. I mean, the kid had to make an effort. Now, for the kid to be able to climb, I don't know that it was a 4-foot fence or not, or if he squeezed through the railings, but I mean, the parents got to be paying attention to the child. You got to be looking after the kid, especially if the kid kept saying he wants to go in there. I think it's silly to turn your back on him.
All right, let's bring Marcos into this. Marcos from Long Beach, you agreed with the zoo.
I did. Listen, notwithstanding the kid getting in there and how he got in there, that's not the concern. I think it's ultimately just watching the footage of the animal dragging the boy through the enclosure, just 10 feet, clearly could have crushed his skull. There was way more risk to the child's life than the animal was, you know, capable of knowing. We don't know what we would have done, and I think the zoo would have been sued. A lot more damage would have come to the zoo if they would have allowed the animal to have supposedly taken care of the child. I mean, there's no way to know. So I'm totally in agreement with the zoo. The decision process was thought out from what the interview said with the zoo. So I totally agree.
Had to go down. For those of you that are thinking you could have drugged the gorilla, that basically you shoot a tranquilizer into him that could have frightened him, and the gorilla is so strong, he could have ripped that kid apart
right
before that. So there was really just no other choice.
And, you know, we all have our ideas of how it should have happened and how horrible this is. But when Jack Hanna and Jane Goodall, two people who love animals more than anyone on the planet, say this is how it had to happen, this is probably how it had to happen.
This is just unfortunate all the way around. So if you're sitting there thinking, I wonder what's trending. I have the trending queen, Gina Grant.
Thank you. I'll help you out right now. Yep. Well, a three-year-old boy was rescued from a gorilla after he fell into a gorilla's enclosure at the Cincinnati Zoo in Ohio. Unfortunately, the gorilla had to be shot in order to rescue the boy. I'm sure we'll be speaking more about that, next hour or so.
Mm-hmm.
Three women are being celebrated as heroes ever since they busted a dude in Santa Monica trying to roofie his date. Mm-hmm. And here's what's trending in sports. Chicago Bulls basketball star Pau Gasol says he may skip the Olympics in Brazil over concerns from the Zika virus. I'm Gina Grad, and that's what's trending online. Coming up, Mark shares his critter hell with us. But first, you too. This is Mark in the Morning.
So Gina not only watches what's in the trending world, she watches what's in the tweeting world.
Yeah. A quick tweet from Jay Melton about a story that happened here on this show that happily and gleefully won't die. He said, "Hey, Gina Grad, playing a bit of podcast catch up after a couple of things. Laughed so much I cried at Mark's Suthamaceets. So funny. I am so happy that that's still in the public mind."
Suthamaceets,
well, again,
to everybody.
Thank you. That was fun, and it's nice to kind of talk Suthamaceets crazy things.
You're the Suthamaceets guy.
All right, so I called Katie, my daughter, chick on the street, chatted with her this weekend, and she said that she and Danny, which, by the way, they're BFFs, they hang out together all the time, they're going to the movie. And I said, "What are you going to go see?" And she said, "Angry Birds."
Why?
I wanted to go see it so, because I played it as a kid, and then I'm like, okay, so now they've turned this stupid game into an even stupider, amazing movie.
So you like the movie, Katie?
I mean, naturally, yes. There is this angry bird, and he's all angry about stuff. And he's just angry in general. Like, he lives in a different place than them, but they all live in a community where they're all very happy. For some reason, though, they don't fly. And they kept, like, foreshadowing, like, yeah, we don't fly. And I thought maybe something was going to happen with that, but it didn't. Then there was, like, an eagle, and then there was all this funny stuff.
What about the pigs?
Oh, then the pigs came.
Yeah.
And the pigs, they're green for some reason, and the pigs are secretly evil.
Yeah.
But,
okay.
But you know this.
Yeah.
So the only thing on my mind when you said it was that Danny was going to go see Angry Birds. Danny, what did you think of the movie Angry Birds?
It sucked. It was horrible. The best part was the Snickers I was eating until I got home the next, you know, I saw the later that morning, that day that I had sat on chocolate.
Oh, no.
The next day I saw, like, there was chocolate stains on my pants. And, going back to the movie, it's terrible.
It's great.
They never explain why they don't fly.
That was weird.
There's a lot of, like, holes in the story.
A few of them, but it doesn't matter because there's birds.
Are all the birds represented from the game?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Okay. All right.
And okay, so
you bring me back in, Katie.
You know how, like, when you use the birds and they do different things, all the birds were launched at one point. It was like they were playing the game in the movie, and I'm like, yes!
Okay, I can no longer officially talk about Angry Birds anymore. I just, if Katie, you owe Danny.
Whatever.
He went for you, so you owe him a favor.
I paid for the movie. Does it matter? No money was lost.
Whoa. I had a gift card.
Oh, it was $15.
So, hello. Adele was in concert this weekend, and something was taking place. She was being videoed on somebody's phone. And she apparently wasn't digging that. Gina, you've got the footage.
Yeah, you got it, Mikey?
Not currently.
Oh, okay. Yeah, should we pull back the curtain a little bit?
Yeah.
I thought you said to put it in trending for later, so that's when Mikey got ready.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No problem.
Forget
but
I said
awesome
it.
But it's awesome, and we'll have it for you later.
McDonald's is our kind of place. It's such a heavy place.
During a recent interview about raising the minimum wage across the country, Ed Renzi, who used to be the CEO of McDonald's, said that fast food restaurant workers will soon be replaced by robots. Renzi pointed out that technology continues to improve and continues to get cheaper. It's gotten to the point that restaurant owners will find it's cheaper to buy a $35,000 robotic arm than it is to hire employees to flip burgers and fill bags of French fries. Now, that kind of freaked me out. Is that possible that a robot can cook food?
I think that's where we're headed. And we're going to get a lot of, "Would you like fries with that?"
Wow.
Yeah, that's going to be our world.
You know, I guess that makes sense, because if you buy say, a box of cereal.
Mm-hmm.
Which, by the way, what's your cereal, Gina?
Honey Bunches of Oats.
So good.
The best.
So good. My problem with them is they get soggy too quickly.
True. That's why you got to eat fast.
Ah, that's the key. So when you buy a box of cereal, for the most part, human hands did not touch that box of cereal.
Correct.
That box was made, put together, and sealed by a machine.
Yeah. And so, don't you think it would be part of the entertainment to go to McDonald's and watch a little robot flip the burgers around?
That would be kind of fun.
Yeah.
I'll tell you something that kind of freaked me out. They said that they're going to start sampling this when you're out on the road, way out in the middle of nowhere, and you pull into a gas station, there will be no one there.
That's creepy. That's very Twilight Zone.
It is, because I think that you've got to have a human because I don't want to pull over to a gas station at midnight.
Right.
And there's nobody.
I'm with
the
you.
Shenanigans and the hijinks on the nasty side that could take place would be bad.
Yeah, let alone stealing all the slushies that you can carry out of there. I don't know how that's going to work.
I saw something on an airplane this weekend that was crack cocaine to me. We were sitting on the airplane, and there's a guy sitting across the aisle. We're just about to take off. He's asleep. He has a half-filled plastic glass of water sitting on his tray.
Oh, no. I know where this is going.
We take off down the runway. And I nudge Linda. I said, look, because it starts to move.
Yeah.
And I told her, as soon as the airplane starts to take off and go up, that's going in his lap. Later, I'll reveal what happened. This is Mark in the Morning. So I was in Critter Hill this weekend. Matter of fact, we'll talk about this in a minute. I did a Facebook Live last night to promote this story and to promote the fact that Linda and I met Kevin Hart. And this video, it freaks me out. 35,000 people have watched it now. And that I can't wrap my... I was sitting in my backyard.
Yeah.
And I did a little thing. And then 35,000 people... watched it.
Your beloved, Mark.
It's creepy. It's just, it's weird. But some of the people left some really funny comments, and we'll hit some of those in a minute. So last night, over the weekend, we lost power here at the house. It went out for like an hour. And that pisses me off. So because I now have to go to every control box that controls lighting and change the time.
Oh, so it's the worst.
It's the bitch. There's like 11 stations I have to go to. So the first one I went to is on the side of the house by the pool equipment. That's the first one that controls most of the lights in the backyard. So I go and I'm opening the box and something moved and I jumped. I look over and there is a bird who, in my assessment, was flying and flew into a window.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And he can't fly very well. So he's trying to fly out of this enclosed area. And so I then try to, because I'm not going to touch him, because I don't know where he's been.
Yeah, he has the bird flu.
So I just tried to shoo him out the door of the enclosure.
Yeah.
And it wasn't, he refused to go out. And so then finally he got behind the pool equipment, and so I just left him there.
Oh, God.
What am I going to do?
I know. It's the worst.
Dude, one time we had these trays of peanut butter because there were field mice in the garage.
They like peanut butter?
Very attracted. It's a tray of glue. And then you put
like
a dollop of peanut butter to attract them. That way you get them out. Somehow a small bird, this is terrible. This is terrible. A small bird flew in there and got stuck in the glue, and there's no way to get him out. And the more he fought, the more stuck he became.
Mark, I want to ask you a quick question on behalf of Los Angeles. Why are you trying to ruin Tuesday?
I've been in Critter Hell, and I wanted to share it because this is the hardest thing I've ever done. I had to take that bird because I didn't want him to lay there and just suffer.
Yeah.
And there were several ways I could have done it. I can't tell this.
You had to end things.
I did.
Yeah.
I'll leave it there.
That was a benevolent thing for you to do.
I guess it's like shooting a horse when they're injured in the desert.
Yeah, old Yeller.
All right. So anyway, I can't get this bird to shoo out.
Yeah.
So I left him there. And I got to go back and check and see if they're there. So now I'm leaving that enclosure. I'm walking down the path and something is moving. I watched a 4-foot-long black snake slither. Have you gone to Mark in the Morning Facebook, Gina?
Yes. But it's a black snake?
Black.
I don't think I've even seen a black snake.
So go to Mark in the Morning Facebook. The picture. All right. So the snake slithers into the shrubs. So now it's about 6 to 7 feet from where we sit and enjoy our evenings, and there is a snake in these shrubs. And I kept going over by it, and I'm trying to decide, do I tell Linda?
Oh, man.
So finally she said, what are you doing? And I decided then that I had to tell her that there is a snake in these shrubs. Just as I told her, the snake stuck his head up out of the shrubbery. And I was able to go over, Linda and I both get pictures of this. And so now I've got a bird stuck in the pool equipment.
Oh my
and
God.
I got a black snake 4 feet long, 5 feet away from where we sit every night.
That is the worst day ever. And this critter. Snake looks like something from the Jungle Book that whispers terrible things in your ear with a little crown on his head.
Now, everybody was funny. Linda posted the picture. And my favorite one, somebody said, hey, just burn the house down.
At this point, you have to. Are you calling animal control or what's happening?
Well, somebody saw it. The people were very opinionated. One guy said it's a rat snake, which is actually very good for your yard. It keeps critters out. They eat, you know, rodents and crap like that. But we're still up in the air whether or not we call the man. Because there is critter removal, and they do that.
Yeah, I think you got to call the man and just get his opinion. Get his professional opinion. There's a black snake and a dying bird in our backyard. Can you please come here now? And by the way, a lot, like you said, people had opinions on this. I was going through the Facebook posts, and here's a couple of my favorites. Would you like to hear them?
Yes.
All right. Well, like I said, Dexter Kim says, this sounds like tomorrow's You Hate to Hear It. Freddie Salas, I'm glad I bought a ticket for the gun show. Mark, were you wearing short sleeves again?
I was.
Well, that makes sense because Daniel King came back with, oh, yeah, you should take those guns to Pawn Stars and see how much you can get for those old antiques. And a very good question by Wendy who asked, but you're on the patio. Do you not think snakes can go on cement?
Well, but here's the thing. Snakes... A snake like this, it's obviously not poisonous. Uh-huh. So snakes like that, the last thing they want is to be around a human being.
Okay.
They don't want that. So I'll let you know tomorrow because Linda is up in the air as to whether or not we call the man.
Wait, doesn't Linda play with Red in the backyard?
Oh, yeah.
I wouldn't go back there.
Yeah, no, she's threatening to boycott.
Yeah, I get it. I totally get it.
Yeah, she's threatening to get the hell out of Dodge.
Yeah. Understood.
So I'll keep you posted as to what we do. And real quickly, so I went to the Doheny Blues Festival to introduce Lynyrd Skynyrd. I talked about it. And they took me back to say hi to Van Sant. I told him a story of 10, 20 years ago concerning my daughter Amy. He remembered it,
Wow. Which
was great. Now, back when I was with Mark and Brian, and we would introduce bands, our rule is that if we're doing it, as soon as we say, please welcome, out they come. The problem with that is, and a lot of you don't know this, a lot of bands have an introduction audio tape that'll play for five minutes or 10 minutes, and then they come out.
Right.
That's the way they do it. So our rule was, they have to come out.
You don't want to introduce a piece of audio tape.
Correct.
You want to introduce the band. Got it.
Correct. So I got to Doheny. And I Chris told me, so you'll go up and you'll do what you do, and then they'll roll an audio. And so it's too late. I don't even care anymore. It doesn't matter. So I got up. I did my thing. I said what I said. And then I said, please welcome Lynyrd Skynyrd's audio introductory tape.
Did people crack up? Slash, were they pissed?
No, I figured make fun of the fact that this is what it is.
Oh, that's funny.
So.
And the dudes in the band didn't get pissy?
No. Okay. They didn't care.
That's great.
So shortly, I will share with you the guy on the plane who had fallen asleep, a half cup full of water, as we're taking off. Did the water fall off the tray or not? I'll tell you shortly.
5 seconds for $35.
All right. Now, it is $35. The way this game plays is called 5 seconds for $5. I ask a listener a question that is not easy, but it's not hard. It's not impossible to get. If they answer it, they get $5. If they don't get it right, that moves into the next day, $10. We are now up to $35. We go to Terry. Terry is calling from Riverside. Good morning, Terry.
Good morning.
Have I spoken with you before?
Yeah, this is my third time.
Wow.
How is that? Do you have a secret phone number?
No, I'm just lucky. Today's my birthday.
Oh, Terry.
Happy birthday, dude.
Hope you get that $35.
Mark, we're at BFFs now. It's been my third time in less than a week.
Well, again, the question I've got is not impossible to answer. You can do this, but you're a glutton for punishment because you haven't won yet.
Yeah, today's my lucky day.
You think?
Yeah.
What is it you do for a living?
I'm a teacher, high school math teacher.
That's
oh,
right.
Wait, is this Cherry?
It's the same guy.
Okay, Cherry, I'm pulling for you today. Not the other days, but today because it's your birthday.
Yeah. All right. I'm part of the show now.
Yeah.
No, you're not.
Oh, I mean, no.
All right. Are you ready for your question?
I'm ready.
Good luck. Have your students started making fun of you yet?
Oh, they don't listen to you guys.
I'm going to come to your classroom and introduce them to me.
I want you to come by.
And let them know what a loser you are.
Yeah. But if he introduces you, you have to come right out. You can't roll some audio BS.
No audio. Okay. I'm ready to go. I'll be right there.
All right, Terry, here's your question. Good luck.
Thanks.
What does the W stand for in George W. Bush?
5, 4, 3, 2,
Wilson.
One.
That is incorrect, you traveling mathematician dumbass. It's Walker.
Oh, man.
George Walker Bush.
Mark, can I get something from my genius booty box? This is my third call. It's my birthday. You guys feel sorry for me.
I don't. How'd you get in three times?
Do we have anything in the booty box at
all? You know what? Maybe if you ask Jackie really nicely, and like Mark said, you promise to never call here again, she'll find something very nice for you for your birthday.
Wait a minute. Or not.
Yeah, I rolled a record. Gotta go. But we'll talk to you in a minute, Jackie. Terry!
Thanks
for calling. Don't call again. So over the weekend, Adele was in concert and somebody was filming her on their phone. And apparently Adele was not happy with it. And she actually, from the stage, said this to the fan.
God, it stopped raining. Yeah, I want to tell that lady as well. Can you stop filming me with a video camera? Because I'm really here in real life. You can enjoy it in real life rather than through your camera. You can take your tripod down. This isn't a DVD. This is a real show. And I'd really like you to enjoy my show because there's lots of people outside that couldn't come in.
Awesome.
You know, I got it. It bugs her. I got it. But unless you collect phones, you're not going to stop people from videotaping this.
Yeah, but I think the problem was the tripod. Like, this woman wasn't even trying to be sneaky because Adele says, can you take your tripod down?
Excuse me. How does somebody get a tripod into a concert?
Thank you.
Good God, tripod.
Yeah. And something tells me that this is probably for bootlegging purposes. So Adele was actually super nice about it.
Well, then they need to get better at security.
Yeah.
Collect tripods.
Yeah, thank you. Tripod. Nah, baby, that's just my third leg, if you know what I mean.
And did he have a full-on camera, or was it an iPhone? Do we know?
If it was on a tripod, it had to be a camera. Otherwise, how could she have seen it from the stage?
Wow. That's crazy.
So
I love
good.
That. I love that crap. Once, just like in the movie Soap Dish, I was doing a play, and it was a bunch of old people. And in the middle of it, because do you remember Soap Dish when Kevin...
I love Soap Dish.
Soap Dish is one of my favorite movies. Kevin Kline was doing, it doesn't matter, doing a classic play. And somebody in the audience, it's a diner, you eat dinner,
yeah.
And somebody couldn't get the waiter. So as he stepped off stage in character, kept reciting lines, and poured the woman some water or whatever she needed. Listen, if you've never seen Soap Dish, pull the trigger on that.
So it is good.
It is Whoopi Goldberg. It is Sally Field. It's behind the scenes of a soap opera.
Yep.
And it is just... It is, and it holds up to this day.
Robert Downey Jr., everybody's in it.
Oh, God, so freaking good. Love it too much. All right, so in a minute, I will share with you the guy on the airplane. We were taking off. He had a half-filled cup of water, and he was asleep. As we're rolling down the runway, the cup started sliding and then stopped on the edge. But I told Linda, as soon as this airplane takes off and we start going up, that water's coming down. Gina.
What?
As soon as we took off, did the water go into the guy's lap? And by the way, it was like crack cocaine. I couldn't stop. And some people might say, well, hey, why didn't you just grab the water and save it?
Have they met you?
We're traveling 100 miles an hour. Unbuckling is not a good idea.
No. So basically, you're asking me if in this one instance, just for you, gravity stopped working. I'm going to say that it didn't stop working and the glass fell into his lap.
To my disillusionment, it stayed right where it was.
How? Was it God?
I don't know. It didn't have a lip on the tray, but it stayed right there. We're going straight up, and it stayed.
Wow.
Which pissed me off, because I wanted to see water in that frickin' guy's lap. All right, now, while we wait on Steve Picaro to call, Mikey went to Vegas this weekend. How was it?
It was awesome. One of our best Vegas trips ever.
So I want to tell mine. This was years ago, 15, 20 years ago. We're at the Bellagio in Las Vegas, and it's late. And Linda had already gone up to the room, and I stayed because I'm just going to finish my drink, and then I'm going to go up. And I'm sitting at a bar that's got maybe 50 chairs, and I'm the only one sitting. I'm kind of in the middle of it. And all of a sudden, right next to me, this gorgeous woman sits down.
Ooh.
And she orders a drink, and I'm just sitting there. And then she starts to talk to me. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm pretty sure she's a hooker. And so I'm sitting there.
At the time you thought this, or in retrospect you think this?
No, in the moment.
Okay, you sized her up. Okay.
So, and she's, I mean, drop dead freaking gorgeous. So I'm sitting there, and I'm starting to freak out. Because if, in fact, she's a hooker, then what if something goes wrong and her big bouncer comes in and beats the hell out of me? And then I've got to explain to Linda, it looks like I got up and just walked away. Left my drink sitting there. Freaked
really?
Out. Yeah. I did not want any of that mess.
You never even spoke to her?
No, we chatted. And while we're talking, I'm thinking, hooker, hooker, going to get in trouble, going to kill me. I'm going to hooker. And Linda will never believe me that I wasn't chatting up a hooker.
Yeah.
So
smart. You're a smart man. Super rude, but smart man.
Give me a head with hair. Long, beautiful hair.
Well, with the summer season pretty much kicking off this weekend, what's your first thought? For guys, it is time to head to the salon and get that body hair groomed.
Couldn't agree more.
It seems plenty of men are doing exactly that. Back hair, arm hair, leg hair, chest hair. Now, in my world, it all goes.
Do you do it yourself or a salon?
Yes, I have a Panasonic trimmer, and I just get rid of it myself. I can't stand it. Because as you get older, there's not only more hair, but the hair you've got just gets longer and longer. It's disgusting, and I cannot stand it. We welcome in the great Steve Picaro from Toto. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning.
So now, Steve, did you ever play a Mark and Brian Christmas show? I know your brother did.
I played several of them, actually.
I told this story, and I love this. Steve's brother, Jeff, was a drummer for Toto. And his drum rack, and if you don't know what that is, a drum rack is a steel frame that you put the drums on. Jeff was a smoker, and he welded an ashtray onto his drum rack. I love that. So Steve has his first solo album called Someday. It is out on June the 10th, and this is your very first ever solo record.
It is.
So for anybody who sits down with it, what can they expect musically? Does it have a theme?
Oh, boy. It's all about the songs for me, and it kind of covers. There's a couple things on there, actually, that I started in the 80s. You know, one thing that was Toto actually tried to cut, but it really didn't turn out to be a Toto tune. So I grabbed my brother Jeff and Mike's parts and transferred into the computer and added my original demo, and it was the thing I always had in my head, and I'm able to get it out there and share it with everybody. A lot of things like that.
If you just joined us, we're speaking with Steve Picaro from Toto. He has a new solo CD. It's called Someday. It's out June the 10th. So, Steve, whenever I begin a creative endeavor, one that takes a lot of time, I always have a certain way that I want it to be when it's finished. I'm either satisfied or I'm not. Did this project turn into what you wanted it to be?
Absolutely. I mean, that was a big thing for me is after years of working with the band and, with working with the band, there's always a compromise. There's always give and take. And, and then doing a lot of film work like I've done where there's a lot of give and take and you're working with directors and producers that, want to change things. It was important to me and with this batch of tunes to have the final say, to be the final word and not have to compromise and to kind of see these songs through the way I heard them and saw them. And I was able to do that, so I'm very satisfied with how it came out.
Now, along with his solo record, he, of course, is still with Toto. You guys are out and about. There are local shows. They're going to be at Fantasy Springs and Indio, Pala Casino Starlight Theater, and then Paso Robles, the Vina Robles Amphitheater. Who are you guys touring with this summer?
You know what? We're not touring with anybody this summer. The last couple summers, when we first kind of dipped our toe back into the water in the States, we did a co-headlining tour with Michael McDonald. Then we did a co-headlining tour with Guests a couple years back. And we were supposed to do that again with Boz this year, but it fell through. So it's just an evening with Toto. So everyone gets to hear our full 2 hour plus, European set that we play. So we're really excited about that.
If you want more information, go to totoofficial.com or go to stevepicaromusic.com. Do me a favor, Steve, and tell Lukather to take 5 minutes out and kiss every ounce of my ass.
I can't wait.
Say it just like that.
All right, well, listen, Steve, the best. I want you to come in and let's sit down and have some fun. We can drag Lukather in, too.
That would be great.
The best to you, my friend. Thank you for giving us a few minutes.
Oh, thank you. Take care.
Let's pack some trending up in this bitch. Here's Gina Grad.
Thank you, Mark. Well, just days after filing for divorce from Johnny Depp, Amber Heard was granted a domestic violence restraining order against her soon-to-be ex-husband. Two people were reportedly attacked by sharks within hours of each other on opposite coasts over Memorial Day weekend. And here's what's trending in sports. In case you haven't heard, the Western Conference final ended last night with Golden State Warriors beating the Oklahoma City Thunder 96-88. I'm Gina Grad, and that's what's trending online. Coming up, Mark spills the beans about the megastar he met over the weekend. But first, Tom Petty. This is Mark in the Morning.
Plus, I have an advanced story on the Johnny Depp deal. And now, four reasons today doesn't suck.
One.
Paperback writer.
It was 50 years ago today that Paperback Writer was released May 31st, 1966. Here, Paul McCartney talks about where it came from.
I had a long drive out there, so I'd start writing on my way out, start thinking anyway. I remember I had the whole idea. That was just one that I'd have. Often John would have one. But with Paperback Writer, I just had the whole thing. And I virtually came in, had the bowl of cornflakes and said, hey, listen, how about if we write it like a letter? Dear Sir or Madam, and then comma, next line, paragraph. And I just wrote it all out on a little piece of paper. And John just sort of sat there and sort of, yeah, 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 that's good. That just kind of flowed, and I sort of wrote that.
Two.
It was on this day back in 1990. Seinfeld, the show about nothing, makes its debut on NBC.
Oh, I've
feel great for 85.
You know, the average lifespan for an American male is like 72. You're really kind of pushing the envelope there.
We had Jerry Seinfeld on the Mark and Brian show, and it was right when he was doing the pilot for Seinfeld.
Oh my God!
Yeah, and he said the only deal we have is four shows. We have four shows, and then we'll see where it goes from there. And he wasn't one way or the other overly, you know, positive or negative about it. It was just a pilot, and then it turned into the great Seinfeld.
Three.
It was on this day back in 1943, Joe Namath was born. He is 73 today. The Hall of Fame quarterback played for the New York Jets, who led to an upset over the Baltimore Colts in Super Bowl III. And he played for the Los Angeles Rams. Most people don't remember that. Since retiring, he's been an actor, broadcaster, Monday Night Football, and a pitchman. Now, Gina, you probably don't know what made him famous, do you?
No.
The Jets were an AFL team, and they were going to play the Baltimore Colts of the what was only known as the NFL.
Okay.
The Colts were favored by 19 points. 19.
A lot of points.
And Joe Namath was sick of hearing how great the Colts were. He was at a press conference, and he just said, I'm sick and tired of hearing about the Colts. Let me tell you something. We're going to win that game. I guarantee it. And then they did the impossible. That made him a worldwide superstar.
Nice. And did they win by 19 points?
No, it was like 16-13, oh. but they won.
I'll take it.
Four.
I know what you're thinking. Did he fire six shots or only five? Well, to tell you the truth, in all this excitement, I've kind of lost track myself. But Ian, this is a .44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off. You've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, punk?
Clint Eastwood is 86 today. I love the way he says that. Blow your head clean off.
As if there
that.
Was another way.
Four reasons as to why today doesn't suck is brought to you by Bristol Farms, your extraordinary food store. Well, somebody's lying. Amber Heard was granted a temporary restraining order against Johnny Depp Friday after claiming that he physically abused her. The actress recently showed the judge photographs of bruises she claims is from past assaults and said she also has video of an alleged altercation. Amber, who has filed for divorce last Monday, says Johnny's abuse was triggered by drugs and alcohol. Though Johnny is staying mum on the allegations, his friends and family are coming to his defense. His ex, Vanessa Paradis, calls the domestic violence allegations, quote, outrageous, and insists that he had never been physically abusive to her during their 14-year relationship. His daughter with Paradis, Lily Rose, posted a photograph on Instagram of herself as a baby with her father, and she wrote, quote, my dad is the sweetest, most loving person I know. She added, quote, he's been nothing but a wonderful father to me and my little brother, and everybody who knows him would say the same thing. Then comedian Doug Stanhope, a friend of the actor,
who we spoke to on the show the other day.
Right. He wrote a column for The Wrap claiming that Amber is blackmailing his friend Johnny Depp. Stanhope wrote that Depp once told him that his wife was, quote, threatening to lie about him publicly in any and every possible way if he didn't agree to her terms. Johnny and Amber wed 15 months ago and there was no prenup.
I'll get you, my pretty, and your little dog, too.
So, I don't know, man. This is crazy nuts, but I love the fact that his ex has stepped up and said, crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
Crazy nuts.
But at least a drug and alcohol addiction would explain the scarves.
So, this past weekend, Skeeter and I, my wife of 34 years, we celebrate 34 in August 21st, we met Kevin Hart. So, I'm at the hotel. It's Friday afternoon. It's like 3:30. Linda had been out. And I wish Linda were here to help tell the story, but bitch had to go out and get her nails done. So she comes into the room, and she has coffee. And she didn't bring me any because she didn't know I'd be there. So I said, I'm going to go get coffee downstairs. And she said, Kevin Hart's down there. I said, oh, okay, because she's a huge fan. So now I have seen some of the biggest names in the business at this hotel, especially in the afternoon. They like to sit in the lobby and have meetings.
Right.
So I met Al Pacino. Not met. Well, I did. Met him.
You had a couple brushes with Al Pacino in that hotel.
Yeah, he's there all the time.
Yeah.
Al Pacino, Glenn Close, David Schwimmer. We ate breakfast next to David Schwimmer and his family. Linda didn't say one word to me the entire breakfast because she was busy eavesdropping on everything they were saying. There is no bigger fan of Friends than my wife and daughters. That's it. So I don't usually bother them. Their meetings, then their what? So I don't bother them. So I walk into the restaurant. And I'm walking up to the bar to get a cup of coffee. And as I'm walking, Kevin Hart, who was sitting out on the patio with two of the most gorgeous women I'd ever seen, he's walking in right toward me. So I'm thinking in my head, how funny will it be if I get a picture with Kevin Hart and then show it to Linda when I get back to the room? So I said, Kevin, could I get a selfie with you? He goes, absolutely, but I've really got to pee, so I'll be back.
Come on with me.
So I'm standing there, and I'm waiting, and I'm waiting. Dude ain't peeing. He is taking a crap. So I'm standing there, and I've got my phone out, and I'm ready. And so then I turn around, and Linda is standing there. She had obviously come down thinking that maybe there would be a pick. Mm-hmm. So I'm not saying anything. I'm not telling her that Kevin is going to come in here in a minute and we're going to get a selfie. So finally we sit down, we got our coffee, 15 minutes. We wait.
Wow.
And then Kevin comes finally walking out. He's got his phone to his ear, but he sees me. He had completely forgotten about it, but he sees me. So he walks over. I introduced my wife, Linda. She is a gigantic fan. And she tells him that she just saw Ride Along 2 on the airplane coming here. Now, that perked him up. He said, well, did you like it? She said it was hysterical, as funny as the first one. Now, while they were talking, Kevin took the phone out of my hand and started getting it ready because he has been around fans, and this is my opinion of why he does it. He's been around fans that get nervous and they can't work the phone, so the selfie that he took of us is up on Mark in the Morning Facebook, and it's him taking the picture.
Oh, that's so awesome.
But what I want you to look at is Linda's face. She is beside herself with excitement, and it shows. So we met Kevin Hart. He couldn't have been friendlier, couldn't have been nicer.
That's so great. And by the way, I don't know if he's here doing press for his new movie. Do you know the new movie he's in? It's called Central Intelligence.
Linda was mentioning it to me. Who's in it with him?
It's Kevin Hart and Dwayne The Rock Johnson. And this is the tagline for the poster. And this is how I know you're going to see it. It says, saving the world takes a little heart and a big Johnson.
That's great. So, yeah, check out the thing. It's on Mark in the Morning Facebook. It's me, Skeeter, and Kevin Hart. And then I told I had a bout with animals this weekend. Just to cut it short, I came from beside the house and I watched a 4-foot black snake crawl into our shrubs.
No.
Yes. And he's still in there.
No.
And I was contemplating whether or not to tell Linda, and I kept walking over to the shrub because I'm pretty freaked. And I know that if I tell her, she's going to be equally freaked. She finally said, what are you doing? And I had to tell her that a black snake had crawled into the shrubs. And as I'm telling her that, he poked his head up and is just looking around. And we took a picture. That also is on Mark in the Morning Facebook. Somebody, we posted the picture and somebody tweeted, just burn the house down. Good God. It's too good. Now, this is not good. Golden Voice, the Los Angeles-based promoter behind Desert Trip, the six-day festival this October in Indio, starring Bob Dylan, McCartney, Stones, The Who, Neil Young, and Roger Waters, have pulled a bait and switch that's going to piss off thousands.
Uh-oh.
The Los Angeles Times reports that they are no longer allowing chairs on the site or blankets on the site, which could cause problems for seniors who have purchased lawn passes instead of the reserved seats. No reason was given for the change, but in an email to one upset concert goer, 65-year-old Cindy Rule, a spokesperson, said, in order to accommodate all general admission holders equally, fairly, and safely in regard to space distribution, we must forego chairs and blankets in the venue. While Desert Trip, which is being held on the site of Coachella, is jokingly referred to as Old Cella, or I hadn't heard this one, Croak-cella.
Oh, that's good.
Neil Young says he doesn't feel old.
I don't know about that. From where I stand, I mean, I feel pretty strong. I don't feel like I'm, I got a lot of years, but I don't feel old. Yeah. Either that or I'm a lot older. It's one or the other. But I don't feel fatigued about what I'm doing and about who I'm playing with.
He happens to be, Neil Young happens to be the youngest at 70. Wow. Of all six performers. McCartney is 74, Jagger is 73, Roger Waters 73, Roger Daltrey 72, Keith Richards 72, Pete Townsend 71.
Damn, they're going to need chairs and rascals on stage, never mind the people in the audience.
But, okay, I mean, it seems they've oversold general admission. These old people are going to have to stand up.
Yep.
You're not even going to be able to sit down.
That's exactly what happened. When you read that, I thought they oversold it. There's no room to sit now. Everybody's got to stand shoulder to shoulder and, you know, replaced hip to replaced hip, and it's going to be a nightmare. It's going to be hard.
That's too good. Okay, so call right now, 888-696-1003. We're going to give away a family four-pack to Disneyland, and I'm just going to warn you now. Gina sent this to me. They have chosen the best hot dog in the United States, and you're not going to believe where it came from, but we're going to open the phones because people are opinionated about how they eat their hot dog, and I know a lot of you had one yesterday. I know I did, and so we're going to talk about how we like our dog. That's all coming up. Gina, you had your script?
Yeah.
All right. You're first.
All right, here we go. Okay, spoiler alert. The new musical production of Frozen live at the Hyperion has a happy ending, as it should, because it is the happiest place on earth, Disneyland Resort.
Even Uncle Joe Benson went to the premiere, but I hear they didn't let him get up on stage and introduce it. And the last show he saw that he didn't introduce was Mozart. Boom. Boom. Mic drop.
Roasted.
Boom.
We have family four packs of one day. Way to go off script, by the way. We have family four packs of one day, one park tickets to give away at 8 a.m. again all this week. And today for our L.A. listeners who are 18 and older, we'll have more tickets to give away at 4 p.m.
Jackie, let's take caller number five at 888-696-1003. Today, when you win, I want you to sing your favorite song from Frozen, or better yet, hand the phone to a kid and have them do it. Gina, do the plug.
Get to the Disneyland Diamond Celebration before the dazzle ends this summer and check out the new Star Wars experience too.
All right, here we go. Let's go to caller number one. Lisa, sing something from Frozen.
Okay, let it go. Let it, so come on, let it go.
Wow, I thought I was bad. Tim, sing something from Frozen.
Olaf Summer song, the ending. And summer!
That was amazing.
That was really good, Tim. Mike, sing something from Frozen.
Tim stole mine. In the summertime.
I think that's from Porgy and Bess.
Yeah, I don't think that's from Frozen. Yeah. Janet, sing something from Frozen.
Let me go, please let me.
Oh.
And Frank, sing something from Frozen.
We want to go to Disneyland, we want to go to Disneyland, let us go.
Frank, you have just won a family four-pack of Disneyland tickets.
That's awesome. My kids are excited in the car right now.
Oh, way to personalize it, Frank.
We will have, and you're not going to make the promo of that, I promise you. We've got more tickets at 3 o'clock today with Andy in the afternoon. Okay, so Gina and I had different scripts, and she said 4 for the next giveaway. I said 3. I had the correct script. So if you want to win Disney Family 4-Packs, it is today at 3 with Andy in the afternoon.
spinning the globe to bring you the constant variety of sport, the thrill of victory, and the agony of defeat.
Sports with Todd is brought to you by our friends and buddies at Frontier Toyota in beautiful Valencia. So, Todd, Linda and I have had the most fun watching Steph Curry play basketball. This team was down 3-1, and they came back and found a way to do it.
Well, and now you're going to have the enjoyment of watching Steph Curry go up against LeBron James in the finals. And look, I think if unless you're a fan of Oklahoma City or Toronto, NBA fans, this is what you wanted. You've got LeBron and the Cleveland Cavaliers going up against Steph Curry and the Golden State Warriors with the 73 regular season wins. And it should be a great final series. And it begins Thursday at Golden State. But, Mark, you're right. They were down 3-1. They even came from behind last night to beat Oklahoma City. Curry had 36 points. And the Warriors shot 46% three-pointers. When they do that, they win. Hey, also, Jeannie Buss on ESPN Radio says, there's no plans to come back here, speaking about Phil Jackson. I didn't think there were any plans, period. He's with the New York Knicks, for crying out loud. And the other thing, you know, Kevin Durant, who is with Oklahoma City this year, he becomes a free agent. Now, with Oklahoma City losing before they got to the finals, might that increase his thoughts of going elsewhere as a free agent? Which might mean, would he want to go to Los Angeles? The Lakers? They'll start talking about it. You watch. Hockey, the NHL Stanley Cup Finals began last night. Pittsburgh 3-2 winners over San Jose. Nick Bonino, a goal with 2:33 left in the game, got the win for Pittsburgh. 1-0 lead there. All right, moving on now to baseball and the Dodgers. Mark, get this. The Cubs won their 6th in a row yesterday, beating the Dodgers 2-0. The Cubs starting pitcher Jason Hammel left the game after 2 innings, had hamstring cramps. So four relief pitchers for the Cubs come in and throw 7 perfect innings. The Dodgers only had one hit yesterday, entire game. And the Angels, a big five-run eighth inning, beats Detroit 5-1. So big win for the Angels. Oh, also the Dodgers at the Cubs again today, and pitching for the Cubs. And we got to be watching this one. Jake Arrieta, he's 9-0, and he's 20-0 if you go back to last year. Now, Mark and I did a little bit of texting on Sunday watching the golf tournament. Jordan Spieth won the Colonial. He birdied the last 3 holes. And here's the deal. If you thought that 12th hole at the Masters in the final round was going to ruin Jordan Spieth, think again. He looked fantastic winning the Colonial, and now this week it gets really good. The Memorial Tournament this week, Jason Day world number 1, Spieth number 2, Rory McIlroy number 3, and a great field for that one.
So good.
I mean, it is. He played so well, and now golf fans, you really get excited because you got the Memorial this week. And then in 2 weeks after that, you've got the U.S. Open. So Jordan Spieth looks like he's kind of peaking now. And I don't know if you watched it, but the 100th running of the Indianapolis 500, Alexander Rossi, a rookie driver, never raced at Indy before, won as a rookie. And as he crossed the finish line, he ran out of gas.
Wow.
And
they had to tow him.
Right. The car couldn't even make it one lap around to get to Victory Circle there, okay? So they had to tow him in to Victory Circle. So there you go. Hey, if you need a tow job, go to Frontier Toyota. No, what I should say is you won't run out of gas if you go to Frontier Toyota because they have lots of high-mileage cars like RAV4s and like, all their great cars.
Prius.
Prius, that's right. Prius, 40 miles per gallon. Camrys, Corollas, you name it. Don't forget, when you go to Frontier Toyota in Valencia, you don't close a deal. You open a relationship because that's what they're all about, family. And let's face it, Mark in the Morning is family with Frontier Toyota.
So Gina sent me this yesterday. They have finally named the best hot dog in the United States. And you're going to be surprised where it comes from. Now, people are very opinionated about their hot dog. So I want you to call right now, 888-696-1003. How do you like your hot dog?
When you bite into an Oscar Mayer hot dog, what do you taste? Diggity.
Hot diggity, dog diggity, boom.
So the decision has been made. Where can you find the finest hot dog in America? Now, I've heard about this. I've never eaten there. Mm. But if you want, according to this, the best hot dog anywhere, you'll go to Costco.
What?
Costco.
Yep.
First of all, it's the value. A hot dog and a drink, $1.50.
Can't beat
but
that.
Listen to the way that they describe this thing. First of all, the dog is unexpectedly flavorful. Gone is the bland, hollow taste of the average hot dog. Instead, a delightful, smoky taste pervades, similar to a kielbasa sausage, but not as fatty or rich. There is a slight charred taste to it that isn't overpowering. It's juicy, and that's a satisfying snap with every bite. This is not the lifeless Frankfurter that one microwaves for 30 seconds before chomping up and throwing it in some ill-conceived mac and cheese dinner. This dog has vitality. The condiments aren't needed to mask the soul-crushing saltiness that they normally would, but simply to complement the already delicious hot dog. Speaking of condiments, ketchup, mustard, relish, onions, and sauerkraut, if you're into that, are all at your disposal. Such freedom is a truly national treasure worth our patronage. The bun is deceptively simple. What's in a bun after all? It's seen as the vehicle, not the cargo. Yet this bun is the unsung hero of the Costco hot dog. It's soft, pliant, tastes lightly sweet, which complements the dog itself perfectly. But the real magic happens when the condiments are dumped on the dog with wild abandon. Precisely because nothing happens. The bun is immune to shabby sogginess or untimely breakage. It is miraculous.
That's some high praise.
This person was horny for this hot dog the way they wrote that. Now, we wanted to open up the phones because people are very opinionated about how they eat their hot dog. We don't ever eat hot dogs, but yesterday, it's Memorial Day, and Skeeter said to me, we're going to grill out hot dogs.
Nice.
So, let me give you the magic that is me. We eat all beef, ballpark, all beef hot dogs. I take a sharp knife and I slit down both sides of the hot dog. When you put it on a hot grill, it kind of opens up and it cooks inside the hot dog. My kids rave about this. So I tell you, just a small slit all the way down on both sides and then char it on a grill. You will never go back to not that. Now, for me, and Gina, you don't eat hot dogs, right?
I'll eat, turkey dogs and stuff like that. I miss them. They're great.
Okay, so for me, the dog, I go 2/3 mustard, 1/3 ketchup.
You mean volume, not like you go 2/3 up the dog.
Yeah, no, all the way. I love mustard.
Okay.
And I heard you groan, Mikey. I'll get back to you. I will enjoy, if I'm going nuts, I'll enjoy chili, no beans, chili. I'll take sliced pickle wedges and shove them down on the side of the bun.
Chicago style.
And if I'm going nuts, I'm going to sprinkle some shredded cheese on that bitch. That's how I roll. Wow. Gina.
I will do a little ketchup, a little mustard, a little relish. And I'll call it a day. That's a simple dog that I could really get into.
Now, Mikey said earlier that ketchup has no business on a hot dog.
Do not. It shouldn't even be part of the condiment tray when you're having hot dogs.
Why? Is it too sweet?
It's not meant for it.
It's supposed to
be mustard. It's the same thing when you go to deli food and you don't put ketchup on like corned beef or anything. You gotta have that salty kind of taste with a hot dog. That's what it's for.
Vinegary.
Not that sweet ketchup eating. No, it's gross.
But see, this guy, he's judging everybody else for wanting ketchup on their hot dog.
It's the wrong way to eat it.
Mark, will you do me a favor?
It's insulting.
When we speak to Adam Carolla about this, will you go ahead and not mention that I put ketchup on my hot dog? Because I have to see him later. It's going to get ugly.
I can't wait. We're speaking with Adam in about 30 minutes. Let's go to Joseph. He's calling from Brawley. Joseph, how do you take your hot dog?
You know, there is nothing wrong with ketchup on a dog. I got to say it right
Thank
now.
Thank you.
Agreed. Nope. Agreed.
Absolutely nothing wrong with it. Mustard is horribly disgusting. I do not like mustard. I will boycott mustard the rest of my life.
Wow.
I personally don't like it. And to cook them, I definitely slip aside and I barbecue the hell out of those bad boys, just like you said, Mark. Exact same way. And I have not tried one from Costco, but I'm definitely going to get my ass one today.
Yeah, we're going to have to get that done. Okay, Joseph, thanks. Some people like mayonnaise on their hot dog.
Okay, I'm seriously going to throw up and never stop.
And if you're eating a Chicago dog, they'll wedge an entire slice of tomato on the side of the thing.
And pickle and onion.
Yeah. Cameron, how do you like your hot dog?
Man, I think the best hot dogs are L.A. dogs, dude, with the bacon wrapped around it and the grilled onions and a little bit of mustard. That's the way to go. Yeah,
now, if you've never done it, you do need to drop by the original Pink's where the Market in the Morning hot dog is. We all threw an ingredient in, and on it is mustard, ketchup.
No ketchup? No ketchup on it.
Okay, mustard, chili, French fries.
Grilled onions.
And the bacon.
And bacon.
Now, see, I told the lady, I'm sorry, what's her name? From
Gloria.
Gloria. I told her, the wrapped around the hot, it's not crispy enough. Tear that, get it really, really crispy, and then sprinkle that through the thing. Let's go to Robert. Robert, how do you like your hot dog?
Oh, Tommy's chili, extra chili and tomatoes.
Ooh.
And tomatoes. That stuff coagulates after it gets cold. Delicious.
Wow.
Coagulates. We have a couple of posts on Mark in the Morning as well. Some real dissenters here, Mark. Purnell says ketchup, relish, and onions. That's it. Ugh. Mike, you're going to have to help me. I think this is from your brother, and there's like some code in here.
Okay.
Mustard, onions, Hoffy hot dog.
Oh, it's a Hoffy dog. It's a brand of hot dog. Oh,
I've never heard of the
Hoffy.
Yeah,
I don't know if they're around anymore, but yeah, Hoffy dog. All right. So good.
And then Ronnie says mustard. That's it. In all caps.
If you like your hot dog a specific way, 888-696-1003. And I'd like to put something up on like a text poll. What is your favorite condiment? So we can find out, you know, like 8 to number 1, what the top condiments are for hot dogs.
That's a good
idea. Hey, Mark, take a look at the phone screen.
Oh, God. You're talking about Michael?
And the last one.
Yeah. All right, I tell you what, we'll come back. We are asking what you like on your hot dog. People are really opinionated about this. And so when Skeeter gets here, I'll have you share hers because, boy, she dumps the kitchen sink on that bitch. Okay, so let's find out what's trending. Here's Miss Grant.
Thank you very much. Well, former New Mexico Governor Gary Johnson won the presidential nomination of the Libertarian Party on Sunday. The newest cold concoction rolling out at Starbucks this summer is the Nitro Brew, a cold coffee infused with nitrogen and served through a beer tap. Some say it comes out like a Guinness. And for anyone who's into purses, a matte white diamond crocodile Birkin bag was sold by a private collector for over $300,000 yesterday, making it the most expensive handbag ever sold. I'm Gina Grad, and that's what's trending online. Coming up, more dog talk, but this time with Adam Carolla. But first, Sting. Yeah? And? Sweet. And the po-po? Yeah, perfect. This is Mark in the Morning.
It's always entertained me in the world of radio what works as a topic. Because I'll have a topic that I just know is going to kill it, and I'll get one call. And then somebody brings up a recipe. Phones are hot for 2 weeks. Yeah. So it's crazy. But I knew this one was going to be big because people are so opinionated about their hot dog. If you just joined us, the number one hot dog in America was named, and it's Costco. $1.50 gets you a hot dog and a Coke. And the woman that was praising it, it's like she's going to date it.
Oh, speaking of which, Mark, I did get an email with a question for you that I thought you might find interesting. This is from Jerd, who says, wait, with all that banging that Mark and Linda did in the Costco parking lot, they never stopped to have a hot dog?
Well, Linda had a hot dog, if you know what I'm saying.
Oh!
Speaking of Linda, she's here. So yesterday, Linda said, and we don't ever do this, but she said we're going to cook hot dogs.
Yes.
And so what I do is I take a sharp knife and I cut a line.
Can I interrupt you, though?
Yeah.
That was because I was drunk from having the wine from seeing the snake.
Yeah, we saw the snake yesterday and we went to lunch. She double-fisted a glass of wine.
Yeah.
The bird's gone.
Oh, jeez.
Snake probably ate it.
Oh, yeah, a little snack. No.
So we got that. So anyway, we did this. We cooked out. I cut the line down both sides of the hot dog, and then that way it grills inside. My kids are nuts for it.
They're pretty good.
So what do you, Skeeter, have on your hot dog?
Okay, in this order is mustard, ketchup, relish, sauerkraut, and onions.
So,
not grilled onions, just
raw onions.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I like an onion that fights me. You know, it smacks me around a little bit.
Right.
Let's go to Michael. He's calling from Riverside. Michael, how do you like your hot dog?
I like it with pineapple wrapped with bacon and teriyaki sauce.
Ugh. What? Pineapple, bacon, and teriyaki sauce?
That's what he said.
Wow.
Now, Michael, do you wrap the bacon around the hot dog?
Sure do. I cut the pineapple in half, and I wrap it around the dog, and then I wrap the bacon around that. And then while it's grilling, I brush it with teriyaki sauce.
Wow.
That's incredible.
Well, like I say, I'm not going to, you know, judge. It's not my hot dog. It's yours. But Mikey hates people who put ketchup on their hot dog.
And now pineapple? That's the most disgusting thing I've ever heard in my life.
Let's go to Scott calling from Culver City. Scott, what do you like on your hot dog?
I like, I usually put barbecue sauce.
Okay. It's not too disgusting.
Is that all you put on it?
Well, barbecue sauce, shredded cheese, and bacon bits.
Bacon bits. And never chili?
Nope.
Okay. Let's go to Chelsea from Hollywood. Chelsea, how do you like your hot dog?
Growing up, my mother would put creamy Skippy peanut butter on my hot dog for extra protein.
What? Wait. Wait a second. Okay.
Yeah.
Kids do weird things. Moms are weird. Do you still eat it like this as an adult?
Every so often to gross people out. But it's not the weirdest thing she ever did. She used the colored ketchup to make meatloaf one time.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
Chelsea.
Oh, I lost her.
Oh.
Now, and I have been on hold for a very long time.
We're going back, apparently. Thank you, Chelsea. My dad weighed in on this.
Yes.
He's been keeping track and sending texts as he hears stuff. So he goes, Mikey is right, in all caps. Yeah. Ketchup is for burgers, but I've done it in an emergency. Hey, celery salt is added to Chicago dogs, and Hoffies are at Smart and Final, and they suck. That's from Steve Grad.
Linda, what were you saying?
What is this music that you're playing?
I chose the wrong. This is called Sleepy Shores.
Really? Yeah. I mean, with all the sound effects that you own, that's what you picked.
Yeah.
Nothing grilling, no grill sound, no anything like that.
Yes.
You're bopping like a Muppet right now.
Travel on. Hey, I've got a pretty serious, I'll just say this. I cannot walk the streets of Burbank.
This is true.
Look, Amy lives in Burbank, and she loves a place called Don Cuco's.
Oh, yeah.
So every time that we go to Don Cuco's. So I have been at Don Cuco's the last three times. We're sitting outside. This was the first one. We're sitting outside. Two guys are walking along the sidewalk. They stop and stare at me, and they just go, love your show.
Oh,
and
nice.
Then they keep on going. Second time was much the same. One guy recognized me and stopped, and we shook hands and talked a bit.
And then there was the time you were just walking down the street in Burbank, and the guy recognized
you. I was crossing the street, and the guy recognized me. So this past Friday, we went. And keep in mind, I'm sitting with my back to the street. This guy is walking into Don Cuco's. He goes, Mark Thompson. I stood up, shook his hand. We chatted. And he went on inside. I'd gone to the bathroom. I saw him sitting at the bar. So we finished our meal, and I said, we need the check. And he goes, well, a guy inside paid for your lunch.
Oh, my God.
So I get up to go thank the guy that I had already met, and I start walking toward it, and the waiter goes, no, it's not him. It's him. It's him. There was another guy, and he paid for our lunch. What was his name? Do you remember?
I believe his name is Kirk.
Kirk. Well, I can't walk the streets of Burbank near Don Cuco's.
You're a huge star, and it's time you start acting like it. And the reason why he recognized you from the back is because that's been on the billboard for a year and a half. Just the back of your damn head and a plaid shirt.
So those of you that don't know, Gina finishes working with me, and then she heads off to work with Adam Carolla. And we are joined by the Podfather himself. Good morning, Adam.
Good morning, and please promise you'll play that song 100 times for every time you play Bad to the Bone by George Thorogood. Please. And that's an unfair ratio for my ears, but I will accept it.
Now, Adam, because Gina knows you so well, I saw in my news prep that last week you had a birthday. And as she was about to walk out, I said, Gina, tell Adam I said happy birthday. And she said, oh, no, that's the last thing you want to say to him.
Yeah.
What is up with you in birthdays?
I don't like them, and not in a, you know, bah humbug kind of a way, just in a way of like, you know, my twins are coming up on their 10th birthday. I think they're going to turn 10 in about 3 or 4 days, and we've got to make a huge, like, we have to sell a piece of property so that we can properly celebrate these two who have achieved nothing, by the way, in their short stay on this planet. I'm looking forward to one day accomplishments, like, hey, 30 days sober, I completed rehab, or, you know, I can take my ankle bracelet off. Things that we can really celebrate, you know?
Real achievements.
And, yes, and for me, I realized pretty quickly, being born is sort of, it's not exactly rarefied air, considering every human being who came before you and every human being who come after you, and every human being you look up to and every human being you despise, and all the heroes from World War II and the Hitlers and the Stalins and the Mussolinis, like, considering the one thing in common they all have is being born, I just thought it's a weird thing to really celebrate, because it's the one time, you know, when you celebrate winning the Nobel Peace Prize or winning the Toyota Celebrity Grand Prix, something even more important, you don't have a whole entire room filled with people that have also achieved that.
Right.
So my feeling for everyone is pick a day. It can be graduating college. It can be getting made partner in your law firm. It can mean almost anything except for being born or getting married or the birth of your children. That's a cop-out. And make it your achievement day, and then see if you can up it the next year.
So am I to believe that on your birthday there's no cake, there's no gifts, there's no commemorating that day at all in the Adam Carolla world?
Well, because my wife is a good woman, she insists on having me pay for Mexican food for the family that night. And by the way, the gifts from the kids and the gifts from the wife, when you're the only one who's working, is sort of like you buying yourself a flat screen TV on Amazon and announcing it's a gift. Well, wait a minute, you just bought it though, right? Like, you're out to $800. But no, couple things. Jimmy Kimmel, who does not participate in the achievement day but sticks with the birthday, sent over a nice gift, so he'll be damned on this achievement day. Everyone else basically stuck to it. And I had a new achievement day yesterday, Mark.
Yeah.
I was at the Osh. I was at the Home Improvement Center because I'm building a deck on my house, and I brought my kids, and we were walking through the aisle, and one of the guys who worked at the Orchard Supply in, I think it's La Crescenta, he walked up to me, he said, Ace Man, big fan. And that's always nice to hear. And then we have to do some CSI work to figure out if he's a Man Show fan, is he a Loveline fan, is he a Like the Old Morning Show fan, does he listen to the podcast fan. He said, love you on Mark in the Morning.
Oh!
out of all the shows this guy does, my pile of crap gets singled out. That's hysterical.
That's funny.
Now,
yeah, it was sad to have to get him fired, but it's still fun. You'd want to know that.
So good.
Now, Adam has a live show coming up. It's Tuesday, June 14th, 8 p.m. at the Ice House in Pasadena. Tickets are available at adamcarolla.com. Now, Adam, this morning, Gina sent this to me. Somebody has named the best hot dog in America, and it is Costco. Costco's hot dog. So we opened up the phones and had people tell us how they eat their hot dog. But Gina shared with me that just like birthdays, you have hot dog issues.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that sounds worse than it is.
sounds clinical.
Yeah. And by the way, like, the National Hot Dog Association will back me up on this. You're not supposed to put ketchup on a hot dog past the age of 9.
Yep. And
I swear to you. So when I see adults who aren't, you know, severely disabled putting ketchup on hot dogs after 9, I always point that out to them. I personally like a Chicago-style hot dog, but I would like for all of us to boycott the Dodger games until they get a halfway decent hot dog in there. The Dodger dog is just a meat stick. The bun-to-meat ratio is way off. You know it's horrible meat because they give you a metric ton of it for $4.99. And the only thing it has going for it is alliteration. And yeah. speaking of names for hot dogs, when the Rams come to town, if they do not name their hot dog the Ramrod, I'll never send one home. Put it out there.
You heard it here.
It's gonna be a cop out when they call it the Ram Dog, right?
Yeah.
Now, I have had the pleasure. I mean, obviously, when Adam was on terrestrial radio, I didn't get to listen to him because I was on at the same time. But I've had the opportunity to be on the Adam Carolla podcast, one of his other podcasts called Take a Knee. This man is cranking out, and I don't know. Look, I prep hours and hours to do this. Adam, when I was on the show, he walked in, sat down, and scribbled something on a piece of paper for 5 minutes, and then we did this incredible show where he just did what he just did. He just rants. If you have not experienced what podcasting is, start with the Adam Carolla podcast. You can find it on iTunes. Gina's in there with him. He is just a master at what he does. And if you want to see that live, you can check out Adam Carolla's live show, Tuesday, June 14th, 8 p.m. at the Ice House in Pasadena. Adam, it is always my pleasure, and that guy at the department store who enjoys you on my show.
Yeah, the Osh. Yeah, again. Well, he's probably looking for a gig about now, so maybe you can hire him on or put him in as an intern. All right, Gina, don't be late and bring donuts.
All right, see you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thanks, guys.
Let's take a look at what's trending with Gina Grant.
Well, zookeepers shot and killed a rare gorilla on Sunday after a three-year-old boy. Actually, I'm not sure. I'm getting reports now that he's three, but over the weekend they said four and even one said five, into its enclosure at the Cincinnati Zoo, triggering outcry over how the situation was handled. Now, the unidentified boy was taken to Children's Hospital, released Sunday, that evening. The family thanked the zoo in a statement through a public relations firm, but a petition has gained well over 100,000 signatures suggesting the boy's parents should be held criminally responsible for the incident. I don't think the zoo feels that way, though. Mark, do you have a clip?
I do.
We did not take the shooting of Harambe lightly, but that child's life is in danger. And people who question that or second guessers don't understand that you can't take a risk with a silverback gorilla.
Look, I mean, watching the video was so scary. This silverback gorilla was dragging this kid around. He was banging his head on concrete. And then at times he appeared to be mothering the boy.
Yeah.
But everybody has stepped up and said, a lot of people said, why don't you drug him? That wouldn't happen instantaneously. And you've got the life of a three-year-old kid at your disposal. Even Jack Hanna stepped up and said, shooting the gorilla was the only choice. I, for one, am on the side of looking at what the parents were doing, because this little kid climbed a 4-foot fence, then had to walk through 5 feet of limbs and trees, mm-hmm. and then fell in the enclosure.
Yeah.
I raised three kids. I never lost one to a gorilla. So I just think you gotta take a look at that. What were they doing?
Yeah. By the way, that might be your achievement day, Mark.
Okay, good. Yeah. Yes. So, I raised three kids and they're relatively normal.
10 fingers, 10 toes. Well, you know, I have a friend who's a nanny, a professional nanny, and she wrote on Facebook, for everyone saying that this is the parents' fault, if you have ever watched a child at a zoo, or five children as she's done before, they are slippery, they are sneaky, they can be gone in half a second. It is not that easy to make sure that they're always under your care at every moment. So, you know, like we said before, there are major feelings about this on every side.
the way that we used to do it, like if we were at Disneyland. Linda would be in front. We lined up like geese.
Oh,
Linda,
smart.
Linda's in the front. Then the three are in front of me, and I'm the caboose. I'm watching to make sure nobody goes anywhere.
That's very, very smart. You do it like security detail, like for the president.
Exactly.
Perfect.
Or Elvis.
Yeah. I'm so sorry. I forgot I was talking to. Well, three Los Angeles women are being lauded as heroes when they spotted a guy at a restaurant in Santa Monica put something in his date's drink when she went to the bathroom. The three women alerted the date. They went to the bathroom, told her about it, and then told the management, who reviewed security footage and had the man arrested. They posted their story on Facebook. It's been shared over 100,000 times in the last couple of days.
And one of the women mentioned to the girl who's had her drink
spiked,
drugged.
Yeah.
They said, "Do you know this guy very well?" She said, "He's my best friend."
Yeah, he said he's a coworker, a good friend, and the guy's been arrested. And can you imagine being someone coming up to you in a bathroom, a stranger going, "Look, I know you don't know me, and I know this is super weird, but I saw the guy you were with put something in your drink." Like, wow. Wouldn't you be looking for a hidden camera? Like, who's punking me? Because that is surreal. So
plus
she,
the bar looked at the security tape, and it clearly showed him doing that.
Pulling out a vial, fumbling with her glass. And she had to go back to the table and pretend like nothing was wrong and just make sure she didn't drink out of that drink while security was called, while police were called, while they were reviewing the footage. So really, really crazy. But man, if you see something, say something.
And you know, here's me. When I'm having sex with Linda or before I met her, anybody else, I really like to know that that person wants to be there.
Yeah.
As opposed to, how do you get off on drugging somebody?
Yeah.
I do not understand this at all.
Well, because you're not insane.
Okay.
And finally, some tenants at a Salt Lake City apartment complex are fuming over a new lease agreement that requires tenants to, quote, like the complex on Facebook. The document also includes a release allowing the apartment to post pictures of tenants and their visitors onto the page. Tenants find this to be a violation of their privacy and may sue from having to be Facebook friends with their apartment complex.
Wow.
Which is totally insane. A, it's like, okay, maybe I'll like it, maybe I won't, but you can't post pictures of me on this page.
I don't even it's social media, so clearly I don't get it, but I don't understand the importance of liking something.
Yeah, I think it's just so they can keep further tabs on their tenants, and I don't think that's going to go very well.
Good Lord.
I'm Gina Grad, and that's what's trending online. This is Mark in the Morning, and this is Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young.
Well, that's it for this Tuesday. Short week, too. Yay. Uncle Joe is with us. What do we have for the 10 at 10, Joe?
You know, I was in Osh, in my hometown, Osh. The guy comes up and said, Adam Carolla was just here. I said, geez, I didn't know he's on parole. Somebody watch him? Oh, my God. You know what we're doing today, Mark?
I don't.
10 at 10. It's the year that Post-it notes came out.
Ooh.
How do we survive before that? So 1980 is the year. That's what we're talking about. 1980.
Ooh.
Oh, we got 10 songs from 1980. 1980, I'm telling you!
tomorrow, we're back. We've got a Facebook feud. We have more Disney tickets. And Mighty John Marshall, who knows more about collectible records than a human should. Mikey!
All right, I want you to join in with me, Mark, on this one, okay? Because it's been a long time since you've done one.
Mm.
Here is Start Me Up. By who?
Stones.
Want more Mark in the Morning? Live and in living color in Southern California. Listen weekday mornings from 6 to 10 on 100.3 FM.